The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to start the hottest quarterback in the league? Josh Allen? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. You know the crew. Yates, Mike Clay, and star, Vanya Bell. What is happening, both of you?
A lot, right? Are we being honest? I mean, I expected a quiet show, not all this drama.
Well, you know what? Field and I were, we were chilling out. We were getting ready. We were prepared. You, however, had your head buried in your computer.
Yeah, I'm distracted now. We are on every TV in this.
Have you never seen yourself on TV before?
All of the TVs.
America people.
It's overwhelming.
Mike Clay is seeing himself for the first time ever.
The first time Mike's ever caught himself live. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got 8 large TVs, a small TV, and the small TV typically serves us as our feedback. So we can see what you are seeing. So we know like, hey, the camera's on Matthew, you're on camera, you're off camera. It's okay to take a sip of coffee. Right, exactly.
Example.
Things of that nature. Mike has never seen all of these TVs because we have the ability to change it to a variety of channels. So when we get here in the morning, we've got, you know, First Take on, or we've got whatever's on ESPN2 at the time. I think it's the re-air of Get Up, or before that, you know,
Sports
time
Center.
Together,
we got all kinds
News,
of First Take,
U.
Yeah.
And that's usually what I'm paying attention to. So now I'm distracted. What am I going to watch during this?
Oh no, now it's you, Mike. What are you going to look at? The Matthew Berry chair
continues to be a real thing. We got a loaded show today. A ton of news, including some breaking news, just about an hour before the show. So let's get right to it.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Talked about this a bit yesterday. It was more in the hypothetical. Now it's in the real. The real, it's going to actually happen. Cam Newton, Stefania is being shut down for the season. That shoulder does not look right, and we got confirmation of that yesterday.
And I think, you know, yesterday we talked about all the things that we were seeing, and what's really interesting to me is now hearing Cam speak about it and basically confirming that he's feeling what we were seeing. I talked about how he had limited rotation, like baseball pitchers lose rotation during the season. He said no matter what the treatment he was doing, can't get that rotation back. He's acknowledging the things that we're seeing. So I think from a fan perspective, there's sort of this confirmation of, yeah, everybody knows it, but to his credit, he was trying to gamely play through it. And I think now at this point you go, okay, here's Carolina's situation. The best plan for everyone involved is to have him now rest and take the time that he needs to get his shoulder right for next year.
So we look forward to 2019 when Cam is back, and certainly love the long-term outlook of Cam Newton, one of the most unique players to ever step on a field in the NFL. Mike, we discussed this yesterday, but again, everybody who's not named Christian McCaffrey is no longer a sure thing or anywhere close to it in fantasy football for your championship.
No question. I think nobody's a sure thing. If I had to use someone, I still think DJ Moore is a possibility, and there's some reasons for that. Specifically his huge volume. I mean, he's playing every snap. He's getting a lot of touches over the past month or so, and he's getting carries too, right? So that gives him a little bit of a higher floor if he gets 2-3 carries, which I think he will, as he has, and he should get 5, 6, 7 targets. Also a pretty good player. So I think if you need an option at wide receiver, you know, he's a possibility because once you, I mean, I don't know if you experience this and you as well, Stefani, doing receiver rankings, you get to like 20, 25, and then there's a lot of question marks. I mean, it's not as secure as it is some other weeks. There's a lot of guys you can consider, you know, just going for upside. He could be a guy, and as we'll get to soon, maybe like a Chris Hogan, that gives him some possible value too.
Yeah, I said the bottom falls out pretty quickly for wide receivers. No, I think it was right around Alshon Jeffrey or so for me this week. Alshon was great last week, which is why he's included in that, like, you feel good about him. But after that, I'm telling you, it gets really ugly at wide receiver. Other wide receiver news, and this was the news that we got this morning. Josh Gordon took to Twitter to announce that he is stepping away from football right now to focus on his mental health. He has a long documented history of dealing with his mental health and substance abuse. We wish Josh well in his recovery. This is about much more than football right now. We don't want to be crass in analyzing this, but there are people that are going to ask questions about this. Mike, specifically, where do the Patriots go from here as it pertains to wide receivers?
I think they go, in general, Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett on the outside. Julian Edelman stays in the slot. They do move guys around a lot. Like, Gordon was pretty much locked on the outside. That's not the case for Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett. These guys will move around a little bit more. But the guy, I just mentioned him. I think I would pivot to Chris Hogan if I had Gordon and I was kind of desperate in a deeper league, or even in 12-team leagues if I needed a dart throw, an upside play. I'm an underdog. You know, a guy, who's a guy who can catch, see five targets and catch a 70-yard touchdown? I think Chris Hogan's the guy. He played pretty much every pass play early on in the season when Edelman was out. He only had 15 targets. He disappointed, but his average depth of target was very low, lower than usual, because he was filling in for Edelman. Now he's not doing that. He's filling in more on a perimeter route here. He will, again, he'll get some slot work. He'll get away from Tre'Davious White, as we'll get to a little bit later. But, I mean, this is a guy that just has that explosive playmaking ability. Look at last season. He was the top 30 fantasy receiver 6 of the first 8 weeks when he was, again, not replacing. I know Edelman was out, but he was playing on the outside. They had Amendola inside. So I think there's reason to believe this guy can be an explosive playmaker and is worth a dart throw. Not you don't feel great about him, right? But again, there's a lot of guys in that 30 to 50 range that you don't feel great about.
Not that long ago, Chris Hogan was one of the best players on the field in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was also in the Super Bowl for the Patriots. Obviously, they threw a ton in that game, but of the 500 plus passing yards Tom Brady had, over 100 of them went to Chris Hogan. It's weird how in football, guys who don't seem to show signs of physical regression can just produce at a much different clip. The Patriots don't probably have a choice now. They need Chris Hogan to be much more like the player he was last year, or else it's going to be, tough sledding for them offensively. And it hasn't been their perfect offensive season, that much is for sure. Kyle notes 128 yards for Chris Hogan in the Super Bowl last year. Aaron Rodgers is playing according to Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. Stefania, would you classify this as expected, surprised, or somewhere in between?
I think expected, based on what we've seen from Aaron Rodgers in the past. And we have seen him dictate a lot of what he wants to do. You know, earlier this year when he had that knee injury, there were a lot of people who wanted him to sit out, including, you know, he had some very intense conversations with the medical staff. Aaron Rodgers wanted to play through it and found a way to do it. He mentioned at the last game that he played that his groin tightened up on him a little bit and he really couldn't move as well as he wanted to. And I think people thought, hey, the Packers, you know, nothing left to play for. Why risk it? Well, it's a mild soft tissue injury, enough that it'll probably limit him. But I thought his comments to reporters yesterday were very respectable. I mean, he's essentially saying everyone in the locker room is looking to you. You're supposed to be the leader of this team. A leader goes out and plays if he's able to play. And I think, you know, if this was a situation where you're talking about risking his career, he would be held out. It's not. Might he be a little less mobile than he already was? Hasn't been a great year for him. He might be. But he wants to be out there to represent for his team, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah, somebody said for playing for pride and playing for next year. I mean, he is the tone setter in that franchise, right? I mean, if you are, name a young player on that roster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, mm-hmm. or a young defensive player, Jaire Alexander, the northern light of the Green Bay Packers mm-hmm. remains Aaron Rodgers, Mike, and this is a good matchup, again, for Rodgers this week. He hasn't been amazing this year, but the door is open at least for a big day on Sunday.
Yeah, no question. We've talked about their struggles on the road this season. They haven't won a game on the road, so that's been a problem area. But nonetheless, he's still one of the best in the business. The Jets have been about mid-pack in terms of their ability against quarterbacks over the past couple of months. So I have him QB5. You know, he's been hanging in there as a back-end QB1 most of the season. If you have him, championships on the line, I think you feel comfortable starting him.
Speaking of comfortable starting somebody, you hope to have Todd Gurley on Sunday, who, it's crazy to think just how good Todd Gurley is, because you look back at this game this past Sunday against the Eagles and you're like, ho-hum, right? Gurley wasn't great. 34.4 fantasy points, right? People are talking about not enough usage for Todd Gurley. He had 10 catches. Now, he only had 10 rushes, but he had 48 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. Plus, he had 10 catches for 76 yards. So a monster day for Todd Gurley. Los Angeles did not practice per se yesterday, Stefania. They walked through. So that's going to be a theme for teams around this time of the year.
Again, all smart business decisions for everybody. January. Whether you're going on or going home, you have to think about what's ahead.
And Sean McVay, who tops your power rankings of coaches with the most honest take on injuries, or at least the most open.
And a really sharp memory.
Very sharp memory. Says he's going to play on Sunday, which is good.
That he expects him to. And I think that's as long as there's no setbacks. And we talked about this before, that Todd Gurley was dealing with some inflammation in that knee. He previously had reconstruction of his ACL on. So they want to be sensible, but he came into the facility feeling better. And McVay had been very clear that if he had medical clearance, he would play. Now, the only thing I would caution us about is what, and part of it would be game flow. Let's say he feels pretty good, because just because a guy plays doesn't mean that they're not having conversations during the game. And if all of a sudden his knee starts feeling like it's getting more swollen or just aggravating him, they're going to yank him. And so as a fantasy player, let's be clear, we all would agree if Todd Gurley plays, if he is active, you're playing him. But just know that there may be some sort of decision as the game moves along to either pull him out early, depending on how the score is or how he's feeling or a combination therein.
Good news there for Todd Gurley that he's likely to play on Sunday. And Mike, I'd assume you have him ranked as such. Number one running back this week?
RB2. I have Zeke first.
But dropped him all the way to one.
I know. Wow. I crushed him. Just he plummeted in my rankings to two. Yeah.
Todd Gurley, a lot of appreciation for Todd Gurley. And a teaser. Later on in the show, we're going to do a mock draft for 2019. This is like not a month too early.
I love
not
the way too early mock draft.
This is like 8 months too early to be doing a mock draft. But it was a brilliant idea by Daniel Dobb. So we're going to do it. Oh, it was
a lie.
Here's a real story really quickly.
Once
Kyle
texts.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's too bad.
Whenever Daniel talks, I can't hear. So watch Stefania turn up the volume to hear Daniel and then forget to turn it down and all of a sudden get blown out.
That's too bad. Blown out like you're going to get to in week 16 against me in the IBM playoffs. So here's the thing.
I didn't hear you.
We're talking about this. Kyle texted me yesterday. He was like, hey, I have a crazy idea. What if we did like a way too early 2019 mock draft on Thursday, seeing as how we don't have a Thursday night football game to preview? And then yesterday, after the pre-show meeting, Mike was like, hey, you know what? I had this weird idea. What if we did like a mock draft, like way too early, like just did a thing? They absolutely did not come up with this together. It was two independent things. And I was like, if these two smart people think it's a good idea, then I just got to let it happen. So
Kyle and I, we're on the same page.
Oh, yeah.
Pins above replacement teamwork.
That's right.
Meanwhile, my crazy idea was, how about drinks?
I know. I was like, my crazy idea was like, do we have to do a podcast on Thursday? Anyways, we are going to do a mock draft, at which point we will, of course, get into Todd Gurley and where he fits.
You guys just wanted to do a walkthrough. Kyle and I wanted to actually have a practice.
Well, put the pads business on. Decisions.
That's right. This is not necessarily news, as in it changes something for this weekend. Well, maybe it doesn't.
Might.
Zeke Elliott. Allow me to explain this and give me a moment, if you will. On Sunday, this past weekend, the Cowboys faced a fourth down and one against the Colts. They went for it. On that play, Zeke Elliott fumbled the football, was stopped short of the line to gain. On the field, it was ruled the Colts had recovered the fumble, which in turn, in the stat book, goes down as a lost fumble by Zeke Elliott. The NFL combs through every play from Sunday until Wednesday, and overnight, Wednesday into Thursday, they issue stat corrections. This is not something that ESPN does. It is not something that our competitors, Yahoo, CBS Sports, you name it, they do. We have data. Basically, it is, it's sent to us. Our systems process it. We spit it back out. So the stat corrections are not, it's not our decision when they come. It's not our decision what is stat corrected or what is not. It is all done. We outsource this. But our systems update overnight. The NFL ruled is one of its stat corrections that Zeke, although he did clearly fumble on the play, it was not a clear recovery by the Colts on the play. Thus, for fantasy football, it is ruled not a fumble lost. It just ruled a 0 yard gain by Zeke, which means that Zeke Elliott was re-awarded two more points overnight and may well have swung matchups in the semifinals into the championship. So a few points here. First of all, again, it is not our job to make stat corrections. It is not our job as to decide when they are issued. It's done externally. It's migrated into our system. Moreover, check your lineups to see whether or not you may have won, because you may actually have won a matchup and you may be like, I'm not setting a lineup, or I don't want to make any more waiver claims. You just never know. So go back in, check to see if you made the finals. That would be awesome. And if you feel like tweeting us screenshots of your winning matchup, go for it too. It's crazy though. I mean, like, I'm sure there's plenty of cases of this in the past, but
you're either on the winning side or the losing side of this one. And it could be brutal.
2 points on
a sack. Or it could be amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, and especially if you're in an IDP league. Like, that's not the only stat correction. There's a ton of them. So sure. If you were in a close finish,
check. Well, that's why, yeah.
I've also seen people complaining, oh, I didn't check waivers, you know. But if you're ever in a close finish in the playoffs and you think you're out of it and you just stop it, don't do that. If it's close, it could always be turned.
Well, this always happens, too, with quarterbacks, because a lot of times the NFL will initially rule something as a sack, which does not count as negative rushing yardage. But if the NFL goes back and looks at it, and it was actually a design run where the quarterback lost 4 yards, well, then you might lose 0.4 points. So I play in an IDP league with Keith, and I always check the stat corrections because it swings a decent number of matchups per year, because there are tons of stat corrections on the defensive side of the ball. So Zeke Elliott, you may be sitting here saying, like, I'm down and out. Nope. You may be right back in it. So go ahead and check your matchups. Last thing here, Stefania, and I hope you already, I'm seeing the note, I think you did too.
Yeah.
Anthony Lynn on Sirius XM radio this morning noted that Melvin Gordon, good to go.
Yes, and we've been talking about this week. I mentioned how close he was to going last Thursday, and every indication was there early on that he would play, but it's nice to get confirmation from the head coach. So just on with Ross Tucker, fellow Princeton grad.
That's right.
And saying that, but I think the quote is important. He said, Melvin's practiced all week and he's doing fine. I don't know that he's himself, but he's going to play. So I think he's leaving the door open. We see how he looks. I'm sorry for people who complain, like, is he healthy? Is he not healthy? There is some element of, you want to call it game flow, because it's like injury flow. You know, when a guy gets into the game, you see how he responds to playing, and how he's feeling may dictate how long he stays in.
Okay. There's the answer.
We're
there.
Firing him up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Gotta fire him up accordingly.
You have to.
Yep. You have to use Melvin Gordon again. That game Saturday night. So the good news is, even if something bizarre does happen between now and the times the inactives are announced, you will have time to make a backup plan, because there's only one game, Washington, Tennessee, which is not particularly fantasy relevant, that is going to take place before the Chargers host the Ravens on Saturday night. I am looking forward to that game.
Yes,
sure. This is not something we need to necessarily, we'll get into this much more tomorrow, but just to pass along, Odell Beckham Jr. not practicing again today. Might be, if you didn't already add a wide receiver to back him up, which hopefully you did because he didn't play last week or the week before, go ahead and go grab somebody if you can on a last minute basis. All right, time now to tell you about Robinhood, which is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's simple and intuitive. There's a clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks, and you keep all of your profits. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. There's custom notifications for price movement, so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at focus.robinhood.com. That's focus.robinhood.com. All right, time now for one of our favorite segments of the week. It's wide receiver cornerback matchups with Mike Clay. But before we get into the wide receiver cornerback matchup, we're going to solicit information from our good friend Kyle Soppy on the IBM Insight of the Week featuring Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, we got Robbie Anderson going against my Packers this week. He's gone over 15.6 points in consecutive games, and IBM Watson gives him a 22.7% chance to do it again this weekend. But he also carries a 12.5% bust chance, which would mean 4 or fewer points.
Ooh. Right?
Can he be a wide receiver 3 or a flex play for you this weekend?
Mike, the Packers don't have a lot defensively, but they do have two rookie cornerbacks that are impressive. Most specifically, Jaire Alexander.
No question. He has been impressive. They also have Josh Jackson in there.
Been good too.
Yeah, he's been up and down for sure. Bashaud Breeland is a guy they brought in during the season. Yeah, no question. He played outside some. He's been in the slot as of late. So they have some talent there for sure. But they're still giving up a ton of fantasy production. It's kind of like, you think about Pittsburgh, right? Mike Hilton is a really good slot corner, but they get destroyed by slot receivers every single week based on matchups against linebackers and safeties, things along those lines. Nonetheless, the Packers have been destroyed by receivers all season long. Third most fantasy points allowed to the perimeter over the past 2 months, sixth most over the past month. You look at Robbie Anderson, primarily a perimeter receiver, 76% of the time he's on the outside. He'll see the rookies, Alexander and Jackson, throughout this game. And as Kyle just pointed to, he's getting volume as of late. 7+ targets during 5 of his past 6 games. He has 75 yards and a touchdown during each of his past 2 games. So he has bounced back after that slow start, which is good. I think he's a very talented player. Sam Darnold's found a way to get him the football. And I think he is a wide receiver 3 or a flex this week. A little risky. But again, how many times... We're going to say this throughout the show, I feel like, that 30 to 50 range at receiver, it's a lot of guys with high ceilings and low floors.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and especially in week 16 when the stakes are so high, right? And the reality is a lot of people playing in the championship may not be making decisions about players that are kind of flimsy in terms of an outlook, right? Like, you have studs that you're going with, but there have been plenty of injuries. There have been, you know, you may feel less confident because a quarterback doesn't play, and as it pertains to a wide receiver, there are reasons to be a bit concerned, to be looking for reinforcements. Maybe no Odell, maybe no Josh Gordon on Sunday. We'll see about Julio Jones, for example. Players like that who could be out or limited, we'll see. Keenan Allen, by the way, and let's start with some news here before we get into the matchup he has with the Ravens on Saturday night. But Stefania, it sounds like things are trending in the right direction here for Keenan Allen.
Right, and our Adam Schefter reporting today that Keenan Allen is expected to play. You know, as I had mentioned earlier in the week, this was really a pain and functionality issue with a hip pointer, not a serious structural issue, but really how well could he function as the week progressed? And it sounds like he's turned a corner and they're feeling very optimistic about his ability to go. I still maintain that the one thing you're concerned about is if you look back at the video of when he got hurt, he goes up in the air, he lands, you know, really hard directly on that right hip. It wouldn't take as much to flare it up and cause him to have to come out. But Keenan Allen is one tough guy. And so I don't expect to see it. You know, I think to me, it's like the risk of stepping on the football field and having that injury last week. You just take that with a grain of salt and know that that's a possibility. But the good news is he's expected to be out there Saturday. So
and the thing about the Keenan Allen is, like, the decision is you're doing it and you understand the risk, but right. Like, you can't do anything if he comes out after 6th place. So you're doing it and you're living with it. Before we get to the wide receiver cornerback matchup involved, I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but Daniel, is Keenan Allen your favorite player in the NFL?
I mean, I really like Keenan Allen a lot.
Is he your favorite though?
But he is not my favorite.
That strikes me as odd because I was thinking about it and, like, you guys are part of a very exclusive fraternity of people with, like, you know, notable beards.
Yes.
Like, you know, beards that are almost defining.
Right? Accurate.
Like, I almost think that, like, you know, your beard is a, like, if you didn't have a beard, I wouldn't know you. That is not to take away from the rest of your character, but, like, you don't think your beard's iconic?
I totally feel like it is a part of who I am, 100%.
James Harden, same way. And yep. Keenan Allen, the same way. He wears a chin strap, so you don't see it as, like, it's not as robust.
Should I start wearing a chin strap to the meeting?
Maybe. You know what you should do is no, but when you eventually shave your, if you ever shave your beard, you should just shave it into a chin
I should
strap.
Just do the chin strap.
I feel like you and Keenan should have some sort of symmetry,
well,
like a harmony.
Did you guys bond?
And we
Am
did
I right?
shake
did you bond
hands.
When we were at training camp? You guys, like, you kind of acknowledged the beard.
Our beards almost touched when we did the interview earlier this year, so which would have been, like, really crazy. But
what happens when two beards touch? It's like something.
I don't.
You know what, Field? If you don't have a beard, I can't tell you the answer to that question.
Okay.
Well, that's something that I will literally never find out about.
Another topic quickly.
Anyways, I really like Keenan Allen. I'm surprised Daniel doesn't love him. But Keenan Allen, specific to the matchup, Mikey. When you're playing the Ravens, it's usually not good news. But there's sort of a silver lining here based off where Keenan Allen aligns.
No question. 55% of the time in the slot. We just talked about that matchup with Pittsburgh the other week, right? Where he was inside and was just feasting on linebackers, safeties, at times Mike Hilton. But nonetheless, he lines up inside over half the time. That means he's going to see Tavon Young or Brandon Carr. We've seen Mark Carr inside since Jimmy Smith's come back, but last week we saw Martavion Young, which is actually even better news for Keenan Allen. So Baltimore this season, they've allowed the 3rd fewest fantasy points to perimeter receivers, but they're 13th in fantasy points to the slot. That's where quarterbacks like to target. That should be the case this week with Keenan Allen, who is probably one of my, man, top 10, top 15 favorite players, I'd say. I mean, he's awesome. He's fantastic.
He is awesome. That much is for sure. And let's just, so, like, I just, this is not like a rant per se. I'm not trying to emulate what I think Matthew would do, but I just like, whatever your decision is with Keenan Allen, make it and live with it. Like, don't be frustrated. Like, if you're playing him and he leaves after 10 plays on Saturday night because he gets banged up again.
Don't at us.
Like, just, like, you did it understanding the risk. Like, live with the consequences.
Field.
How football, fantasy football works.
You gotta, like, I know that was, like, your 100,
that was
like,
my
rant.
Right
like,
there.
You gotta bring it down just a little bit.
Field Yates.
Too
don't
much.
Make
I'm feeling
him
uncomfortable.
Angry.
I know. Anyways, no, seriously. I mean, like, you know, it's true though. Like, just live with the decision.
And not to mention Keenan Allen, it's like the Todd Gurley situation. They got you here.
Right. Yeah. So of course. Stop. Keenan was the number one wide receiver for like a 6 week stretch after they came out of their bye. All right. Another one here, Mike, is Deshaun Hamilton against the Raiders. People are like, wait, what? Who is the Raiders cornerback? So you're saying this is a good matchup for Deshaun Hamilton?
Yeah, I would say so. He's going to draw Nick Nelson in this matchup. The Raiders have been, I don't have an answer for what they've been doing at corner. It's just constant rotation.
Neither do the Raiders.
Whether it's Rashawn Melvin or Garyon Conley or Leon Hall, who's since been cut, they're just constantly moving guys around. It's new every week. It's hard to predict, but the one thing we can predict is that it's probably not going to work out too well. It's been a bit of a disaster. You look at Hamilton, 21 targets over his past two games. He's finished 14th and 31st in fantasy points, so he's been delivering. And 67 of his 90 routes have come in the slot. You look at Nick Nelson, he's been targeted on 22% of his coverage snaps. That's a relatively high number. I'll give a shout out here to my old friends over at Pro Football Focus. Only Tease Tabor has a worse coverage grade among corners with 100 plus coverage snaps this season. So I'm just going to keep talking. I don't care. Nelson is a problem corner. Hamilton will be inside. He could take advantage.
Back-to-back games with 7 catches for Deshaun Hamilton. So you like the possibility of Deshaun once again, being a factor in this Denver offense. We were going to talk about Josh Gordon against the Bills. Obviously, Josh Gordon not going to play this weekend for the Patriots. Tre'Davious White is one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL, Mike, and we thought he would probably shadow Josh Gordon. And people are now wondering, okay, does that mean that with Josh Gordon out, somebody else, whether it was Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, will somebody else get the Tre'Davious White shadow coverage?
I don't think so. There's a few reasons. First of all, they've been preparing for Josh Gordon. Tre'Davious White shadowed Gordon the last time around back in week 8. And this time, of course, they were planning for that. You get this curveball. Now, most likely he will stay on his side, or if he sees Julian Edelman on the outside, which he'll be out there about 30% of the time, he could potentially be on him. He could travel with Chris Hogan when he's on the outside, but that's not a sure thing. And also, Hogan lines up, as mentioned earlier, Hogan will line up in the slot plenty. They move these guys. That's one thing Bill Belichick in New England, Josh McDaniels, does very well. They move these guys around constantly. Even Edelman, who again is the primary slot, is only in there under 70% of the time. So they'll be moved around. I'm not too worried about that matchup. I am worried about the Bills defense being good overall. They do cover the perimeter well. That's a red flag. But, since Julian Edelman returned, Chris Hogan has run 298 pass routes.
In
every game since that.
Sorry, I'm just wondering how many that it is. I'm wondering if
that would be
8 or 9 games.
Okay, 10 games were through 14.
10 games.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So he's run 298 routes. Philip Dorsett 71. Cordarrelle Patterson 41. It's not even close. So with Gordon out, it should be Edelman and Hogan. Clearly, the 1-2 punch there at wide receiver.
Just to be noted, a player can, I don't know about overcome, but can be schemed away from the Tre'Davious White shadow. We talked about this a bit yesterday on the show, but the Lions last week said, all right, rather than throwing Kenny Galladay into the Tre'Davious White fire, let's pull him out of it and move him in the slot, which could be something that, and you just mentioned, Chris Hogan's going to play some slot snaps, Edelman will play some slot snaps. Those two are the most likely candidates for the Patriots.
By the way, we've talked about White a lot this year, and I've talked about him in my column, and we've talked about him on Fantasy Football Now. He was a Pro Bowl snub. He was one of the he's one of the best. You don't want to get too excited about that, but he got ripped off.
So
he
I like the rule there. That Bill Barnwell made this rule. Our friend Bill Barnwell, please download and subscribe to his podcast. But there's a rule that
Bill Barnwell world that we're living in. The best pod, and the world should be listening.
Now it's done.
Yeah.
His rule is like, if you're going to call somebody a snub, you got to say who they should replace.
Okay.
So if we go to the AFC Pro Bowl cornerbacks, who would you replace Tre'Davious White with? Tre'Davious White in, who comes out? You ready for the cornerbacks?
I am. Let's go.
Xavien Howard, Jalen Ramsey.
No. Maybe on Ramsey. Definitely on Howard.
Stephon Gilmore. Denzel
Close
Ward.
Call. Denzel, yeah, Ward Howard for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm with you as well. But I'm
arguably the best corner on that list. Arguably. And Ramsey's probably number one, but he's had some issues.
I think it's probably Ramsey or Gilmore. Gilmore's probably the most consistent out of those guys.
He's good. Yeah, I sometimes, when I look at this stuff so long, you're just like, how does New England always get such great efficiency from their perimeter corners? It doesn't really matter who it is for the most part. Even like Eric Rowe looked competent when he was playing out there. So maybe that's in the back of my brain here, giving some credit to Scheme. But nonetheless, he is terrific. That's a probably a good cornerback. They make great. I think White is just legit a stud.
All right. Xavien Howard is the odd man out in Mike's Pro Bowl ballot.
Yeah.
Yesterday we told you about our Swerve, and that's what it's called. I'm not misspeaking there. It takes 90 seconds, and the feedback I got yesterday when I tweeted out the survey was 90 seconds. It took like 60 seconds. So even less than 90 seconds to fill out a form that does a lot for us, because the lifeline of this podcast is the lifeblood of this podcast. Whatever the term I'm looking for is the fans. You guys download and don't listen, but you at least download in record-setting numbers. ESPN is always excited about the numbers we draw for this podcast. Daniel does a great job. Stefania, Mike, Keith, Kyle, Matthew, Damian, everybody. Luna, Sid, you know, up in the production. Everybody does a great job. That's important. But we can get even better. We want to get even better. And we want to get even better because we want to find out what it is that you want to see more or less of, or hear more or less of. Take this Swerve. I know Stefania is going to tweet it at some point later on today.
Yes.
It'll help us a lot. I'd give you the link if it was easy to read out loud. The better bet.
HTTP.
Yeah. :// www. Anyways.
That's all we got.
Yeah. But take that survey, 60 seconds of your time, and help us out. It'll make us better.
You can find it on any of our social media platforms at Field Yates, at Mike Clay NFL, at Stefania _ESPN. Mine is at Daniel Dopp. Matthew Berry will probably tweet it out tomorrow, or I'll make him tweet it out tomorrow, at Matthew Berry TMR.
I feel like he did.
Did he do it yesterday? He wasn't even on the show and he tweeted it out yesterday.
Wow, that's big time.
Good
and
for
Stefania
him.
And Stefania still hasn't. I know.
I'm a slacker. I'm actually getting ready to tweet it right now, so it'll be up.
Okay,
shortly.
Well, pay attention to the show right now, Stefania, all right?
I mean, I can multitask, unlike some.
In any event.
Sometimes.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And then on the other side of this, I'm going to call the audible and give you the lay of the land on all of the leagues we play in.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-0-1-0. Fantasy focus.
Now for a quick note from the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
This is Zach Kine, ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week. And after surviving my semifinal matchup by 0.3 points, I need to replace Cam Newton. Do I go Dak Prescott, Mitch Trubisky, or Josh Allen?
Well, I think we know where Mike lands on that side.
There's a choice that you never would have imagined hearing a few weeks ago. Just think about that.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, Josh Allen in that conversation. I'm going Dak, and shout out to the baby in the background. I don't know if you caught that in the background. I'm so used to that. The kids just, I swear, every time I tell Casey I'm at home, I have to do like a radio hit for 12, 15 minutes. Like 100% of the time, I'll send her upstairs just for a few minutes. She comes down every time. Like she'll wait, and it'll be an hour before. She'll wait an hour. Yeah, my four-year-old. She'll wait the hour. Not bother me, and then comes down during the broadcast almost every time. It's like clockwork, but whatever. You know, we still love
kids.
It.
Do the darndest things. By the way, if people could right now start tweeting at Field Yates with any questions you might have specific to your championship matchup this weekend. We want some. We're gonna try to get to some at the end of this show.
By the way, I just tweeted out the Swerve link.
Swerve.
Okay. So proof that I could do two things at once.
Breaking
on
news.
Some days at some times.
So if good stuff there, star Fanya. Let's do our men's, women's, and celeb league update. I only have access to the celebrity league, so I'll give you the lay of the land there. Congratulations to Zac Efron, who once again is back in the championship matchup. Finally catches a break. Does that chiseled Zac Efron. He had the number one team during the fantasy regular season. He is in the finals against the team of Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Last week, Efron took down the team of Sim Sarna and Anna Faris. Meanwhile, Lord and Miller took down Evan Longoria, the official third baseman of the 06-01, and his wife, Jamie. I know that Evan was feeling pretty good about his team, and ultimately, a couple of people get unglued by, you know, dud performance, whether it's a Tyreek Hill relatively quiet day, an Adam Thielen relatively quiet day, but Efron versus Lord and Miller, the two best teams during the regular season, they meet in the championship. Daniel, do you have a man's league update that you can provide?
Oh, yeah, you bet I do.
Yeah, you do.
This week in the finals, we have 9 years Kyle. By the way, just in case you didn't forget, 9 years Kyle has waited 9 years to be able to propose to his girlfriend. And Runfield Run going up against each other. Right now, Runfield Run projected to win 126.2 to 119.5. Obviously, those projections were very skeptical of. Never sure if they're accurate or not, but.
Who does those again?
They're total random. It's like a lottery.
It is just totally random. I would like to just say this. 16-team league. The four running backs in the championship are Christian McCaffrey, good.
Yep.
Jeff Wilson Jr., Jamal Williams, and Marlon Mack. Like, if you're like,
stop. Play That's not the possible.
Waiver wire. Play the waiver wire. Play the waiver wire. Play the waiver wire. And Stefania, do you have the Women's League update you can provide?
I do. So last week, super smart Rachel, who crushed me in the first round of playoffs, and I mean crushed, okay. destroyed me, lost to Lawyer Alex. So Lawyer Alex, number one seed, moving on to the finals. And in the other division, CSI Christy barely edged out 49er Christina, 79-77, 2-point differential. CSI Christy goes to the finals. So Lawyer Alex, CSI Christy, it'll be a one seed versus a three seed. Interestingly, both with 10-3 records. So really strong record throughout the season. It's deep league. It's very, very hard to win consistently. Shout out to them and good luck in the finals.
Congratulations mm-hmm. to everybody involved in the men's and women's league finals. And finally, our staff league on ESPN, which is it's a conglomerate of the best and brightest here at ESPN. Mike, who is in the championship game?
Yeah, that might be a shot at ourselves because none of us are in this game. Yeah. But shout out to Ken Dobby, the retired Ken Dobby.
See what happens
ESPN
when you
Fantasy.
Retire? You can then
the
focus
off.
All your energy. Right.
No question. He'll take on Jim McCormick.
Jim McCormick crushed me in the round of the playoffs, too. I thought I had a good chance because I had a pretty good team all year, and his team is
Standings
peaking at the right time.
The standings were kind of crazy in this one. They're both 8-5, but we had, 6-8-5 teams. We had a 9-4. Matt Bowen was the one seed. 6-8-5 teams.
Yeah.
And actually, Matthew was one of them, and he had the fewest points, so he was the one that missed. Yeah. Of all the 8-5 teams, he's the only one that missed the playoffs.
Matt Bowen did?
No, Matt Barry.
Matt Barry.
I was going to say, Matt Bowen's team was awesome.
He got it, and he just snuck in at 9-4.
Okay. Time now for our congratulations to everybody that's made it to the championship, whether you're in one of those leagues that we just talked about, or you're just playing your league at home or with college buddies or high school friends. I just would quickly say, fantasy football is about a community, right? That part, I think, is really what makes it special, is that there is something that's irreplaceable about fantasy football. Let's get into our mock draft. And this is really fun. It's way too early. And Daniel randomly selected the order. So here's how it's going to go. We're going to each make two picks. So it's a 12-team league. But I have the first pick. Daniel very kindly drew my name out of a hat first. When I pick first, and then again at 12, I am not taking those players as if they were on the same team. Like, that's not a 6-team league. This is a 12-team league.
It's like a one-round mock.
One-round mock draft. So with the first pick of the, and yes, we did devise the order yesterday, so we have an idea of what's coming down the pike here for research purposes. The first pick in the 2019 fantasy football mock draft, Field Yates selects Todd Gurley, who has scored 40 touchdowns at the beginning of last season. No other player has more than 29 touchdowns from scrimmage over that stretch. He's young. He's ascending. He plays in an awesome offense. I can't imagine a lot changes that gives you significant pause over this Rams offense next year, whereas there are other offenses where they may not look like they do right now. Todd Gurley is in a prime spot to be really a 5-year fantasy stud, if you include last year and this year.
Touchdown. And you know what's really interesting? Remember last year when we were like, what's Sean McVay's offense going to look like?
And
we have the answer, but at the end of last season, McVay said he was kicking himself for not really playing up the pass catching role of Todd Gurley as much as he could have. And sure. I think that is part of just this overall huge explosion of productivity being used in the ways creatively that he has been by Sean McVay. What a nice marriage of running back and coach.
No question. Should be a safe play as well. I mean, he's finished top 11 in 12 of 14 weeks this season, catches a ton of passes, gets an insane amount of work near the goal line, which is huge as well. And it's not like they have someone that's threatening for more targets or, is going to force their way into a passing down role. That could change in the offseason. But nonetheless, he should be safe for 25-plus touches in one of the league's best offenses.
Still, he's like 24 years old. Yeah. You know, he's still young and running back.
He'll be 25 next year, yep.
Daniel, you have pick two. Where are you going to go?
Before I pick this, did you even consider anyone other than Todd Gurley? Or was it just clear-cut, not even close?
I did. I thought about Saquon Barkley. And okay. Really, it's choosing between two fantastic options. I think what it comes down to is that, like, what we saw last week, and I get it, Todd Gurley had a bad week 2 weeks ago against the Bears, but where I get more nervous about Saquon Barkley, and when I say more, it's a very relative term. It's just like, the Giants have nothing besides him and Odell.
Yeah,
and Evan Ingram to a degree, but like, if they stick with Eli Manning next year, right, Giants, you just feel like good about the supporting cast. Right. And like, you're bound to have a ton of huge games with Todd Gurley.
100%. So with the number two overall pick, I'll be honest, that was exactly how I was thinking. And this is why I went with Zeke at number two over Saquon Barkley. The idea that with that Giants offense next year, don't know if Eli is going to come back. If he does come back, you know, how much more does he regress? If they have a rookie quarterback or someone new, how does that offense look? I just feel like that Cowboys offense is in a better spot for Zeke to be able to get more touchdowns. And this year, he added more catching to his game. 72 catches on 88 targets this season. He entered the season with 58 catches on 73 targets in his first 25 games of his career. So he has absolutely added that whole PPR element to his game. I just like this team and offensive line more than I do with Saquon and not knowing where that Giants offense is going to be next year.
I was going to say, if you're going to say you like the offensive line in Dallas more than like the Rams, I was going to say, a Dallas offensive line ain't what it was.
No, for sure.
Dallas
for
second in the NFL in terms of sacks allowed. That's a stunning, staggering statistic for a team that a couple of years ago was dominant.
Keep in mind, they had no top wide receiver till they got Amari Cooper, and everybody knew it was going to be Zeke, and Zeke was still productive.
So next up is Keith. Keith, you're in the third spot here. Where do you turn with pick three?
Yeah, you guys definitely took the first two I would have taken as well. I would have gone in the same order. And when it came to number three, I just went with Saquon Barkley because I felt like the upside is tremendous. He's already been great this season. I don't really see anything changing for the worse for him. I'm not sure how much better he'll get per se.
Get worse.
I mean, I also don't know how much better he'll get. I mean, he's had a really good season, so I think
he can do it.
It's folly to think that he was going to just make another jump because it's his second season. But I thought he was pretty safe here at number three.
Stefania, you've got the fourth pick. This might be the point where maybe it gets a little bit interesting. What do you go with fourth overall?
It does get interesting. Not the easiest choice, but I ended up going with Alvin Kamara, and part of it was consistency year over year, especially when people were wondering, can he reproduce the season that he had last year? And as a thirsty Kyle put in a nice little nugget here, he just needs 13 more yards to start his career with consecutive 1,500 yards and 13 or more touchdown seasons. This year, 12 rushing touchdowns, 4 receiving touchdowns, so 16 total. Only Todd Gurley has more total touchdowns with 21. So if you like guys who score in the end zone, you know, Daniel, who thinks Julio Jones is overrated because he hasn't been in the end zone much, then you've got a guy in Alvin Kamara who finds the end zone. And also, with the 12 rushing TDs, it reminds you that he gets the ball near the end zone. So the amount of weapons that they have in New Orleans, they are still looking to Kamara near the end zone. Yep. Only Todd Gurley has more rushing touchdowns than Alvin Kamara. So, and a few two-point conversions thrown in there in his scoring. So just the opportunity, we talk about volume and opportunity. I think Alvin Kamara gets them. And to have two seasons that are so similar back-to-back is a good argument for consistency.
Mark Ingram set to be a free agent. I think he could return to New Orleans, but still, if he does not, even more work for Alvin Kamara. Mike, you get the fifth pick. Where are you going here?
I do. I was pleased to land Christian McCaffrey here. I mean, it's not insane to say he should be first overall. I mean, I put Gurley, Barkley, Zeke ahead of him, but McCaffrey has been outstanding. Speaking of volume, how about a guy playing 98% of the offensive snaps? I mean, we talked for years about how Le'Veon Bell's massive workload was huge for him. He was playing around 90%. We have McCaffrey just breaking all the rules here at 98%. 9 top 10 fantasy weeks this season. His worst finish, the worst case for him this season, has been RB21. I mean, he has delivered. This is going to be an offense. We'll get a healthy Cam back next season. They'll run the ball plenty. He'll be a huge part of that offense, obviously, as both a rusher and a pass catcher. And this is the big one. His efficiency rushing the ball has gone from poor as a rookie to very good this season. That is really good news. That should help him sustain this large role long term.
Just three players, DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, and Christian McCaffrey, amongst non-quarterbacks, have at least 10 points in every game this year. Of course, McCaffrey has been awesome for the Panthers. Kyle, you get two, and it gets hairy here. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, a little bit. Again, these are two different teams, so we're not going any kind of turn situation. I got the end of tier one for me. Melvin Gordon, number 6 overall for me. He didn't score in his rookie year. He's been as good as anybody getting into the end zone after that. But like you said, I think it gets a little iffy after this. I'm going Nick Chubb.
What?
Yeah, 7th overall for me. Yeah, I know. But I'm not starting a team in this era without a running back. And it was either Chubb was my next best running back. There's a bunch of receivers. But going at this spot, in the second round, I know I'd get a star receiver if we were drafting two rounds. So I'm comfortable with Chubb as my number one running back, knowing I'd get an ace receiver on the other side. He's been as involved as anybody since the Carlos Hyde trade. I feel good about it.
Listen, every year there's somebody who breaks into another level of stardom. Chubb could be that guy in his second year.
Yeah, and he kind of has this season, right, as a rusher, and he's getting some touchdowns as well. The schedule's been pretty light for them, which is nice. I mean, this past week against Denver, he did not find the end zone in one of their tougher matchups. My concern with him as a first-round pick, a lack of passing down work. Like, we've seen it. We saw it go up a little bit a couple weeks ago, and then it disappeared again with Duke Johnson playing a larger role this past week. Johnson, by the way, I know he hasn't been a big factor. You like to think that'll change with the new coaching staff or an adjusted coaching staff in the offseason because he's too good. They just signed him to an extension. Why is he just standing around on the sideline? I do like Chubb, but I think he's more of a second rounder. You just worry about that floor. I don't want to go as far as like a Jordan Howard floor, but if he disappears from the passing game, that is not going to pay off as a first round pick.
Sounds like a Yater right there to
me.
I
know. Not to mention that we haven't had the consistency in Cleveland at all. So it's hard. I think if you look at how well he's done late in the season, it bodes well for him with more consistency coming into next year.
All right, yeah, by the way,
I will say this really quick though. Would it shock me if he went like Mark Ingram and caught 40 or 50 balls? Not at all. That would not shock me.
Yeah,
but
a lot of room for growth there with our friend Nick Chubb. Mike, you have pick 8 here. And no wide receivers taken yet.
Yeah, I'm going to take the first one here. I'm happy to get Davante Adams in the middle of the first round. He's the number one scoring fantasy receiver this season.
Yep.
Only one weekly finish worse than 18th. So again, I'm kind of aiming floor here a little bit and ceiling with McCaffrey and Davante Adams. This is my first two picks. Adams, 16 plus fantasy points in every single game this season. Think about that. I pretty guarantee
15 or more. Yeah.
16 plus in every
plus,
game.
Yeah.
29% target share in an Aaron Rodgers led offense. He's a touchdown machine. No one has more over the past three seasons. What's not to love about Adams, at least for now? And again, we have a lot of work to do leading up to our initial rankings for next season. I'll drop my first set next week. But Adams right now looks like the number one fantasy receiver.
Hard to disagree with that one. I think if you look back at this past offseason, maybe one of the best moves made in the NFL was the Packers re-sign him to a 4-year, $58 million, maybe
great
54.
Deal.
Great deal by them. They did it right before the end of last regular season, which helped them from a cap standpoint. Next up is Stefania, and we just talked about Nick Chubb being a potential second-year leap. Well, we saw second-year leap from your pick, Stefania.
Yeah, I went with Joe Mixon. Now, keep in mind that this is not me drafting him as the second player on my fantasy team.
Yep.
The way we did this was if you were pick 9 in the draft, where would you go? And I think you could make an argument for a receiver or running back, but I feel the same way as Kyle does, that it's too hard to go without a running back. We've seen the problems. If you don't have one of these star running backs that you know is going to be the starter, you know who's going to get the volume of work, it's tough to compete. And Joe Mixon, I think, as you mentioned, Field, he made this leap. 8 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown, but still with 40 catches. So the volume in the passing game is there. Maybe he could have an opportunity to score more with a passing touchdown in the future. I think that number goes up. Don't forget, he missed 2 games because of knee surgery in the season. He came back remarkably well. That is a that is a trait that I value, is somebody who could have that in the middle of the season, only miss a couple weeks after that scope, and still come back and be this productive. He's the number 6 running back in fantasy points per game since week 12, so he's finishing strong. That's why I went with Joe Mixon.
Yeah, right. They like to grind him between the tackles, too, still averaging 4.8 yards per carry. You love seeing that efficiency, only 22 years old. I'm with you. I don't have a problem taking a workhorse passing guy who can run the ball, catch the ball in the first round. I like it.
Number 10 goes back to Keith, and again, so far, pretty light on wide receivers, Keith.
Yeah, and that's kind of what weighed my decision. I got there, and I said, okay, there's 3 backs that I still like here, and I'm going to take a chance that one of them would come back to me at 15.
Okay.
So, and I thought that would be Le'Veon, not knowing where he is, but still Le'Veon, David Johnson, and Dalvin Cook. And I said, you know what? I like my number one receiver, who is DeAndre Hopkins, so I took him here and hoped that one of those 3 backs would get back to me at 15.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
just so consistent.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
so consistent.
Even the touchdowns have been pretty consistent.
And
so,
also, a guy who's been on the injury report every week and has played every week. And last week gets the, you know, carried off by his teammates, you know. Who was that? The quarterback who in college broke his leg.
Byron Leftwich. At Marshall. Sorry.
Yeah, so yeah. He was sort of, DeAndre made fun of himself for sort of getting that treatment with the
Leftwich treatment.
He referenced Paul Pierce too, I believe, like getting carried off by the teammates, but he was back in and playing it. Like, he's amazing. Physical specimen and talent.
There's not any concern there for Nuke, though, with the way that offense has sort of been underwhelming, and Deshaun Watson, you know, didn't really take a step forward as much as we hoped he had based on seeing him from his rookie year.
DeAndre was still the third scoring wide receiver.
Totally.
Exactly.
And by the way, Deshaun Watson will be another year removed from that ACL surgery, and I think that means he goes up, you know. It's still tough. As good as he looked in the preseason, it's still tough to come back from and perform at the same level.
Yeah, they've settled for a ton of field goals, and you know that if you have Kyemi Fairbairn as your kicker, especially last week, they've settled for a ton. I don't know if I pronounced
it. You just wanted to say that.
I don't even know if I got it right. But
Fairbairn, yeah, whatever.
A ton of field goals. You turn just a few of them into touchdowns. I mean, that's going to be huge for that offense.
All right, Daniel, very interesting here. Pick 11. Where are you going?
Number 11. So here's the thing. I noticed that we've all stayed away from this. No one knows where he's going to play, but the talent of Le'Veon Bell, regardless of where he ends up, I feel like is still worthy of a first-round pick, especially in a 12-team league. The way he catches the football, the idea that you know whatever team gets him, they're going to use him as a workhorse back. From 2015 to 2017, only five times in which a player logged 250 carries and 75 receptions in a single season. Le'Veon Bell was three of those times. David Johnson and Matt Forte were the other two. So regardless of where he goes, you know, fingers crossed, it's the Jets or a team that has a huge need at running back where they're just going to continue to force feed him the football. I think here at 11, he is phenomenal value from that standpoint. Now, taking into account, he didn't play football for a year, and how's he going to show up in shape? And
you know, he's going to play either, right? No matter where he ends up, though, you have to trust the talent. I don't think that there is, here's the reason why I think it makes sense is this. I don't think any team is going to commit the money it's going to take to acquire Le'Veon Bell unless they want to do so and put him in a massively prominent role.
I agree. And I don't want to take a running back early in fantasy right now unless it's a game-changing player like this. Otherwise, don't take the risk on the injury. Go receiver. You can go zero running back aside of getting those guys that can be league winner, 25-touch guys. That's the only thing I want if I'm taking a running back in the first few rounds. He is unquestionably one of those guys. I mean, 2017, last time we saw him, number one at running back in snaps, routes, carries, catches. That's pretty good. I mean, that's the kind of guy I want.
Yeah, it's been a very curious year for Le'Veon as to how we got to this point. But let's say he goes to the Jets, for example. You'd love him at this pick. And I'll go number 12, last one here, in memory or in honor of Daniel Dopp, Julio Jones. You know he has the most 20-point games this year amongst wide receivers? Julio Jones. He's got 9 games with 20 points. He has the consistently most significant ceiling of any wide receiver in football. And it's close. I get it. But still, it may not be that close. As a matter of fact, Antonio Brown's been unreal today. But there are like a couple of tiny indicators that maybe it's starting to even out a little bit in Pittsburgh. And Nuke, you just talked about that. Like, if this is, you know, like, I think that Julio, like, the ceiling could grow even higher. Devontae is a great, I'm okay with Devontae going ahead of him, but like, again, like Julio is the guy, man. He is that dude.
The only thing I'll say is you mentioned Antonio Brown coming down a little bit. Well, he turned 30 this year. Julio does turn 30 in 2 months. That is the only hesitation I have with Julio Jones is that maybe we see age a little bit there, but hey, he's been top 7 at receiver 5 straight seasons. At this point, he's still at his peak. I mean, let's be honest.
And this year has definitely been, he has had less of that crazy inconsistency with, like, he's been putting up more consistent games from that standpoint.
Backpedaling, are we?
Not backpedaling. That's just what it is. And he actually got in the end zone this year, which has been fantastic that he's finally been getting in the end zone for guys that drafted him. So,
yeah, I think you owe me some socks.
I do owe you some socks for that. I really quickly want to go through this because we just did 12 picks. There were a couple of guys that notably I felt like were left off that list. Antonio Brown, we just talked about, was one of them.
Yep.
Right?
Very close.
David Johnson does not make the first round for us.
Yeah, I mean, I had a hard time with that one. It's hard to be confident in him right now. That offense.
Yep. Right. I want to see where the offense is going. I still trust the player, but he's been...
Yeah, the offense is terrible.
Amid a terrible offense.
Yep. Really bad. From that standpoint, you know, the only other running backs I felt maybe would fit that, and tell me if you guys disagree, you know, Dalvin Cook maybe could have been. You see that offense is a good offense. Another year, you know, more time away, Stefania, from the injury that we had talked about coming into this year. Somebody that can maybe squeak into the top 12 next year, but him and or Leonard Fournette and or James Conner if he's going to be the workhorse guy there in Pittsburgh.
Well, we initially set out to do this as maybe a 20-pick draft, and I had James Conner at 13 was my next pick up. Again, that would be under the presumption that that Le'Veon Bell is not playing in Pittsburgh next year. So you're in the right territory. Or Dalvin Cook, good answers.
Yeah, by the way, round two of drafts, you just mentioned all the running backs. How about these guys that could go in round two this year? It's going to be a great spot to be. Tyreek Hill, Juju Smith-Schuster, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham, Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, and not to mention Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz. I mean, if someone was like, I'm taking Kelce at that 1-2 turn, fine. You know, the guy has been dominant. No question.
Hey, let me ask you this really quickly. Understanding how bad the tight end, and I know we can say this every year, how bad the tight end position has been this year, if you had Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce, and you had such a huge advantage over your opponents. I mean, is that going to change for you guys, your thought process going into those top two guys next year?
Those are my top two, and it's not close.
Yeah, I think Ertz's target share will come down a little bit, especially with Dallas Goedert in his second season. So I'm pretty positive I'll have Kelce number one. He should be fine. But you also have Kittle in there. You'll have Hunter Henry coming back. You're going to have some people are going to say, you know what,
we'll talk ourselves into more depth. Tyler Eifert,
we absolutely will. No question. But there's a few potential sets. O.J. Howard.
You know. If I could, I wanted to rapid fire some questions for Championship Week. Is that cool, Daniel?
It is totally cool. Can I ask you one more question?
Of course, go for it.
I just want to know, how high are you taking Patrick Mahomes?
I thought about this. I actually thought about this. I mean, I was like,
treating it like I would if I thought Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady was going to go crazy this year. Which would be like pick 25? Yeah. And maybe even a little bit higher for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
maybe even like end of the second round.
Because he's been
he's been
matchup proof. And that to me is the one thing where I'm like, and okay, Mike, you're the king of the regression. Is that going to happen with Patrick Mahomes?
I think he will come down a little bit, but he's still a stud. He's going to add some value with his legs. He has Andy Reid running that offense. He has plenty of skill guys. I think he's fine, but the problem is I'm thinking about if I take Mahomes in round three, I'm going to miss out on some of those guys we just listed that are studs, and then I'm going to be sitting there in round 12 like I have Trubisky, I have Big Ben, I have Phillip Rivers, maybe Drew Brees. Like, it's just so many good options at quarterback. I don't think I could do it that
early. I think
early.
What I want to see in the offseason is an analysis of just how much of a differential Mahomes made and how many teams, championship teams, was he on or was he a part of? Because I know I played against a guy in a league, Daniel Dopp, who had Mahomes, and like, it just, his scores seemed to, now it wasn't every week, but I would know his scoring was so far ahead of everybody else's. I just wonder if he's that much of a difference maker that he's worth the gamble that
he was this year, but he was a lot cheaper too. You didn't have to give up your second round pick to get him this year.
Okay. So I'm going to do a couple of rapid fire questions. First one comes from our friend, if you know the program Waddle and Sylvie, maybe the most, the most popular radio show in Chicago. They do an amazing job. Mark Silverman, Tom Waddle. Sylvie's actually on vacation right now. He's texting me from Mexico. he's in two championships. He got some great questions here. Deion Lewis, he's looking for his RB2 spot. Deion Lewis, but he picked up Kalen Ballage and Jalen Richard on his roster. Zach Zenner is available. So the choices are Deion Lewis, Kalen Ballage, Jalen Richard, Zach Zenner. My answer would be Kalen Ballage.
Really?
Oh, it's just one. Just one that
just
you
one. Pick. I think it's between him and probably Deion Lewis, right?
I think Ballage is a worse Frank Gore and playing Jacksonville, so I don't want him.
Ooh, I forgot about that
part. What do you mean worse Frank Gore is if Frank Gore is bad?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
he, just reframe. Frank Gore was not, you said Frank Gore was worse
not,
Frank Gore.
Yeah, but Frank Gore was not a good fantasy running back.
Okay.
He had no touchdowns.
So
I'm going Jalen Richard.
Jalen Richard.
Yeah, just high. They're getting him a little more in the carry department, and the target share has been terrific.
For me,
they have to throw
it was Jalen Richard.
Interesting. Yep. Okay. Jalen Richard, Monday night matchup. So you could have Jalen Richard deciding a fantasy matchup for you on Monday night.
And I can't
night.
Believe I'm saying that out loud, but it would have been Jalen Richard.
Question two is a quarterback question for him. He has four options. Stafford, Mariota, Nick Mullins, or Sam Darnold? I know he said it's a 16-team league, and he has been piecing it together at quarterback all year. Those four.
Mariota, Darnold,
I'm trying to look at the matchups.
Sam Darnold at home against the Packers, who, again, have been torched on the road this season. That defense can't stop anybody on the road.
Yeah, who's San Francisco playing? I can't
remember. They are playing
the Bears, so you don't do that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I knew it was a tough defense.
Stafford gets Minnesota.
Yeah.
Mariota gets Washington.
Stafford's been terrible.
So I think it comes out of Mariota and Darnold. I'll probably go with Darnold.
And Darnold is the one I'm going with based on air yards.
Good stuff there. I'll let him know accordingly. I'm going to hand you some questions. We'll try to do as many as we can. Just yes or no or one word answers here. You ready for this?
There's
we got
we
start here. I thought I had a bunch of these lined up already. I get all these and now they're not
all right, Field,
to.
Where's
I
the
got
rapid
all these.
Fire?
Wow.
Jamal Williams or Damian Williams if Spencer Ware does not play.
Ooh, if he doesn't play, I'm gonna lean Jamal Williams.
Okay. Stefania, yeah. Pick two. Robbie Anderson, Kenny Golladay, Larry Fitzgerald, Dante Pettis, Mike Williams, Kalen Ballage, Doug Martin.
No, I can't do that because there's too many names there.
Golladay, yes. Mike Williams, Dante Pettis, Larry Fitzgerald, Kalen Ballage, Robbie Anderson, Doug Martin.
I don't like a couple of the choices. Dante Pettis, I probably go with Golladay, even though he burned me before. I like him this week, and
probably Fitz or Robbie Anderson.
I was going to say Robbie Anderson is probably my second one, especially over the running backs, just because of the potential for the yardage.
Two out
volume.
Of these three players, half point PPR: Spencer Ware, Damian Williams, and Kalen Ballage. Do you just play the two Chiefs running backs and try to account for all the points in that backfield?
I think if Ware plays, I probably would still use Ballage over Damian Williams. Okay. But if Ware's out,
it's answered.
Okay, looking for an RB2.
He's just barely practicing, so
in
I'm not
non-PPR,
sure.
Non-PPR, Eli Maguire, Jamal Williams, or Jalen Samuels?
You want two?
Yeah, one for RB2.
Eli Maguire.
Jalen
Samuels? Oh, yeah, because
non-PPR.
Connor's looking...
Non-PPR.
Yeah, I'm still going Samuels,
okay. Yeah.
Jalen Samuels is the pick. One more here. Two flexes. Here are the options. Gus Edwards, Kalen Ballage, Dante Pettis, Deshaun Hamilton, and Kenny Golladay.
Golladay,
and it would be Hamilton
Deshaun?
Or, yeah, I think Hamilton, yeah.
Versus Gus Edwards. They play Chargers on Saturday night. All right. A lot of questions to get to, and I'm sure we'll continue to answer plenty of them over the next couple of days. Mike Clay has been an integral part of our podcast this year. You have done a lot of work, Mike, and we appreciate you very much for all that you have done. As of right now, this is your last scheduled show for the season. You never know. We might see you again soon.
Yeah, you're known
for
just calling shows off, so you might.
Right. You know me. Take a day off here, take a day off.
But thank you.
There.
Fun season, obviously, and we'll do it again soon.
Go follow Mike Clay, NFL, on Twitter and Instagram. Find all of his information there. Stefania, you and I are back at it again tomorrow. We'll
yes,
be ready,
we are.
Right?
I can't believe we're getting that close that we're saying like goodbye to Mike Clay. Like
I know.
It's that close.
It's
to
you're
the
down
end
to your
of
final
the year.
Three.
You
what?
Say
yeah,
goodbye.
Three.
I say good riddance. But yeah. Same thing, right?
I know. Yeah. We have a show tomorrow on Friday, and we have one show Thursday next week,
and we have our Secret Santa before the show. I'm actually going to come in just for that.
You're coming in just for Secret Santa.
I'm coming in for
awesome.
Yes.
Fantasy show or our podcast, Secret Santa, should be a lot of fun tomorrow. She is Stefania B87 on Instagram. Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. I'm at Field Yates on both mediums. Keep tweeting us your questions. We'll try to get to as many as possible. We're back on Friday to preview every single game. Talk to you then. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead. Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fan.